Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Raymond Snyder, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus, and today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott and Father Peter Tattleben. Let's begin with a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, and really how to grow in our devotion to God, the Holy Spirit. You know, we of course have that great feast of Pentecost that rolls around once a year. It's a special time to be renewed in our devotion to the Lord, to God, the Holy Spirit. And I think this is something that's very important for us as Catholics to make an effort of talking about, because, you know, Christ has come, he has become man, suffered and died for us, and in so doing revealed the Father, and through his saving action, as we know, towards the end of the Easter season, as we get ready to celebrate Pentecost, we know that the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. So if we were to boil it down, we would say, well, God doesn't just want us to have an awareness or a relationship with merely some idea of God, but a personal relationship, and with each of the persons of the Holy Trinity. And so today we're going to think a little bit then about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and really our understanding, our belief of the Holy Spirit. Father Peter, what do you think are some of the things that, well, I guess, you know, we have quite the pulpit here, you know,
yeah.
And kind of when you walk up to the pulpit, probably long before you actually do the walking up, you're asking yourself, what do I want people to hear?
Sure.
And, you know, what do you think more Catholics in particular should know about the Holy Spirit?
Well, I think that more Catholics should see the pervasive role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian, right? So the Holy Spirit's job is to make us like Jesus on the inside. Right. In the Christian life, sometimes when we talk about imitating Jesus, right, we think of imitating Jesus like we think about like imitating Harriet Tubman or Abraham Lincoln, right? You read the stories about them and you try to like do what they did. But it seems to me that that's actually not what Christianity is about. In fact, you can't imitate the second person of the Blessed Trinity all by yourself, it turns out. So in order to do that, in order to live that heavenly life, that really Christian life of Christ on the inside, Jesus sends you the Holy Spirit to reproduce him on the inside. The Holy Spirit makes you like Jesus on the inside, and that's his job. And in so doing, he brings you into God's world. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes you a Christian because the Holy Spirit literally turns you into Jesus, so that when you read the Gospels, Jesus' actions are the pattern for the actions and the life that's alive in you through the gift of his Spirit.
Father Stephen, do you have any thoughts about what is it in particular that, you know, we can do to make that happen, to be like Jesus on the inside, in Father Peter's words, but to grow in our configuration to Christ and the Holy Spirit?
I think one of the first things we could do is ask. There's a passage in the gospel where Jesus said, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We might expect him to say, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give you something good or give you what you want?" But instead, he says, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I think asking for the Holy Spirit, I mean, God knows that, God the Father knows that we need the Holy Spirit, but he still wants us to ask. And so asking the Holy Spirit is so important. One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete, mm-hmm. which is a Greek word meaning someone who is called in. And you might call in a consultant, you know, you call in someone who can help you, who has an expertise that you need in a given situation. You know, the Paraclete is one that we can call in, meaning implying that we're asking the Holy Spirit to come, to give us that strength that we need. And so I think it's always a good thing to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit.
That in fact, he is the greatest gift that God has for us and is in fact God. You know, it's pretty powerful when we think about the greatest thing God has to give us is himself.
Yeah.
And here, even in person, you know, to know that that word gift is another name even for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's gift with a capital G,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
givable God. God who can be given and who is meant to be given to us.
Yeah, that's in fact the fundamental way we experience the Holy Spirit as gift. It's one of the proper names of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is the gift, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus says to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You know, mm-hmm. he would have given you the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, God gives without measure. He gives in abundance. And what does it mean to give in abundance? It means to give his very self. And what that means is to give the Holy Spirit, who is God, the person who is apt to be given.
Father Peter, you used that word pervasive at the beginning, you know, meaning spread everywhere, present everywhere. We know, of course, God is not only present everywhere, in a natural way that, you know, he keeps us all in existence, mm-hmm. but we know that he's also at work many times in places, especially in our hearts and the hearts of believers, giving his gifts. He's at work in a supernatural way. He's present in a supernatural way. You know, we see, of course, in the scriptures, the presence of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost with tongues of fire. In my experience, asking Catholics is, or you know, people beginning to learn the faith, where do we see, you know, the Holy Spirit's action, or what are some of the names or the, you know, the at least symbols of the Holy Spirit present in the scriptures and in salvation history? And of course, people think immediately of fire and Pentecost, but it's worth also, you know, if you read the Catechism, in fact, it has a whole
list, a
whole wonderful list. And, you know, one of my favorites is the finger of the right hand of God.
Yeah.
You know, of course, breath and wind, and even Jesus breathing on the apostles to give them the power to forgive sins. That's a sending of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So one of the ways of thinking about the Holy Spirit is there's all these wonderful images in the Bible, right? There's the dove, the fire, the water, the finger of the right hand of God, right? These are all places where we think of the Holy Spirit as being present, the wind, right? So the Bible gives us, it gives us images for the Holy Spirit to describe its action in our lives. And then the Bible also gives proper names for the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible gives five proper names for the Holy Spirit, right? He's holy, he's spirit, he's love, he's gift, and Paraclete, right? And you can kind of look at these and they give this picture of what the Holy Spirit is. You know, they describe both his actions in our lives, and they describe his actions in our lives because they describe who he is eternally, right? You know, because he's holy, he draws us into God's world. He's a spirit because he's the fruit of love. Right. Holy Spirit is personal love in the Trinity. Right. He's the gift. He's the God who's apt to be given, the God who shares his goodness with us. And he's the Paraclete who's called to our side to plead for us. You know, one of the ways I love of thinking about the Holy Spirit is this idea of love and spirit. Right. When we want to try to think about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, like how does God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, how do they come about? And one of the ways of thinking about how they come about is the Son is God as wisdom, right? And the fruit of wisdom. And then the Holy Spirit is God as the fruit of love, right? The idea is that God is full of life. And what do things that are alive do? They act. And what do the higher things that are alive do? Well, they know and they love. And knowing and loving produces fruits, right? And I always love to think the Holy Spirit comes forth as God is love, right? And it's the love in God is so real that it's a distinct person. And you know what love really is? Love is really an impulse, right? Love is the thing that makes me drive, that drives me towards something else, right? When I fall in love, my heart is reconfigured so that it is propelled towards the thing that I love, right? And you know what I do as a sign of that? When I fall in love with something, I sigh, you know? I think of, you know, the steak, the filet mignon, and, you know, my heart is reconfigured to resemble that filet mignon, and I'm propelled towards it, you know? And when I think of it and I just think of being propelled towards it, I go, and I sigh, right? You know? And so what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is that fruit of love in God, that God knowing how beautiful he is and how good he is, and just falling in love with that beauty and goodness and going, and that sigh, that deep sigh that comes right from the heart of God comes out to all the earth and draws us all up into God's world. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And he's given in and through Jesus. So he draws us into God's world through Jesus Christ.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Raymond Snyder, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today by Father Peter Tottleben and by Father Stephen Alcott. And today we've been discussing the Holy Spirit, who God the Holy Spirit is, and his activity in our life. His all-pervasive activity in our life as Christians. Father Stephen, do you have any concrete advice for someone? We, you know, Father Peter and I have been tending on the theological side here. I feel like,
except for the filet mignon.
That was very down to earth,
gritty. Yeah.
So, any words of wisdom about growing in our love of God the Holy Spirit?
Sure. It helps me to think of some concrete passages in the scripture where the Holy Spirit comes in as a gift, you know, as a manifestation of God's love. One of those places, as we alluded to before, is in the upper room where the disciples were. They were inside of a room and the door was locked. Mm-hmm. And this is in the Gospel of John on the day of the resurrection. Christ comes through the locked doors.
Yeah.
The doors are locked because they're afraid that what happened to Christ will happen to them, that they'll be crucified. So they're closed in, they're afraid, they're worried, they're casting about for answers to why everything that has happened in the last 3 days has happened. And then suddenly there is Christ, and he breathes on them. And into an atmosphere of fear, of being closed in, of being filled with doubt and confusion and sadness and grief, suddenly there is life, there is courage, there is strength, there's the power to forgive sins, there's a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it as like when your son was on it, with, you know, if you're a student or a student brother, and you're closed into your room, it just gets really stale, but you don't notice it because it happens really gradually, you know, and then you open up the window and, you know, there's air.
Yeah, there's the
there's actually
breath,
this
wind.
Big shining thing in the sky outside that you haven't seen for days, you know, and you realize that there's something comes in and it just changes everything, you know, from the outside. We see another example of that in when Jesus goes to Bethany shortly before his passion, to the house of Lazarus, who has been raised from the dead by Jesus not too long before that, and Mary and Martha, and Mary breaks a vial of perfumed oil worth 300 days' wages, and the fragrance fills the room. again, it's a gift, you know, it's a gift. It's a very expensive gift. It's a super abundant, you know, extravagant gift. And it fills the room, a room that was probably, you know, up to that point was a little, had a little bit of sadness in it. Jesus had told them that, you know, he was going to be crucified, but he was going to be put to death. But that fragrance fills the room. So I think when we find ourselves practically in that spot where we feel closed in, where yep. we feel afraid, where we feel confused, where we feel sad, where we just feel like we're stuck in this one spot and we need some spiritual air
yeah.
to ask the Holy Spirit or ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking about when you were saying that? I was thinking about the power of making acts of faith mm-hmm. to feel the Spirit's life in us. Because, right, there's two properties of God's giving, like that you kind of brought, that you brought out when you were talking, Father Stephen. Like the first was that God doesn't wait to give gifts. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the apostles, they're all scared. They're in the upper room. The doors are locked. And God doesn't wait for permission to come in. God, mm-hmm. sometimes we say, oh, well, you know, if you just open the door for God, God will come in. No. God just, because he's the omnipotent.
This is the harrow of hell we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Right. He's the omnipotent.
Breaks down the door.
Yeah. Right. He's the omnipotent God. He doesn't need, no lock is going to stop him. Right. When he comes. Right. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And then number two is that when God gives, he gives lavishly.
Right.
Right. He gives the 300, the vial of oil that's worth 300 days wages. And so sometimes I think what that means is that, like, if we're feeling like we don't feel the power of the Spirit at work in our lives, I think, you know, what we can do is make acts of faith. Like we can say, God, I don't feel it, but I know that you don't wait. And I know that you give lavishly. Mm-hmm. You know you don't wait. And I know you give lavishly. And therefore I know, and I believe that you are here pouring out your Spirit on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Praying for, you know, an increase in faith, an increase Absolutely. In hope, an increase in charity. And we know that these are things that are that come from God, which means to get more of them, we have to go to God.
Yeah.
And precisely going back to the passage Father Stephen had of the importance of prayer and knowing that our Father, our Heavenly Father, wants to give us the Holy Spirit. I think the other sort of paradigm shift or transition that talking about the Holy Spirit causes is, you know, we see that the Christian life isn't just like this uphill march of drudgery, yeah. But when we see especially the gifts of the Holy Spirit, yeah. which sort of energize and support our yeah. faith, our hope, our charity, you know, I'm amazed how many times I encounter people who are articulating basically a need for a particular gift of the Holy Spirit without knowing it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know that I'm a child of God, but I just don't feel like it.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's like, well, actually, that's where you do the Dominican, well, actually, intro. God has a special gift.
Yeah, it turns out.
And you can't have that sense of being a child of God without, for example, the Spirit's gift of piety.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is he gives all these things together.
Yeah.
But on our side, it's worth being aware of them.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, we know there's an answer. We know there is a remedy that heals the wound. And we know that there is a, I don't know, my medical analogies are coming out here. There's a supplement. We know there's yeah. something that will go above and beyond what yeah. our nature is capable of. And that's just it. The gifts of the Holy Spirit allow us to act like yeah. children of God without completely feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to act and to live up to the call of the gospel without, you know, being able to sense it.
Yeah. Well, I love the image that you made, because this is something that lots of Christians kind of, we fall into the mentality of, and I think Catholics especially, of the idea of like Christian life as the drudgery of an uphill march, mm-hmm. right?
Carrying stones.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, it's the drudgery of an uphill march, and we're supposed to progress forward. But the Bible says that the fruits of the Spirit are joy and peace. And well, why is that? Because we're not just marching upward unaided. If you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that gift is a gift of love, and love is an impulse, then what the Holy Spirit is doing is it's impulse. Am I allowed to say that? It's impulsing you up.
Imperating.
I mean? It's imperating. Yeah, it's impulse. it's propelling you up the mountain. As Christians, you know, Jesus says that the way is narrow, the road is steep that leads to life, but it's also true that he doesn't let you walk it alone. He gives you the impulse, the love, the power to propel you up the narrow and the steep road that leads to life. You don't just drudge up it yourself. Am I allowed to say that? I'm sorry.
I think drudging is a verb. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Well, and if you take the St. Therese option, you even would use the elevator.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, thank God. Yes, it's a very narrow elevator shaft.
Yeah.
But it's one completely under the divine power.
Yep.
So we've talked a little bit about, you know, doctrine of the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son, about the Holy Spirit given to us in our hearts and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think it's worth, you know, seeing how the Holy Spirit, you know, in this effusion of love that Christians experience in receiving more and more the presence of the Spirit, some of the works of beauty and poetry that we have, even within the liturgy.
Sure.
Like, for example, the sequence on Pentecost is Veni Sancte Spiritus.
Yeah.
And then another prayer we often hear, for example, like at ordinations, when there's the laying on of hands, the literal outpouring of Spirit through the sacrament of holy orders, often the Veni Creator Spiritus is prayed, which is such a powerful and beautiful prayer. And so going back to the sequence we have that, you know, it would be worth reading at any time, but, you know, particularly when we want to call down the Holy Spirit's blessings, you know, think of how in that prayer, you know, we pray that to melt what is frozen, you know, and to bend what is rigid, you know, and inflexible. We think about how, this is our prayer not only for ourselves, but for other people. Like, this answers to that need of those seemingly impassable situations
sure.
and obstacles that people face in their life. You know, oh, so-and-so has left the faith. You know, my dear child or family member, and I just don't know where to start. I've already tried talking to them. I've been praying for them for a long time. I think, especially in those moments that seem completely, just in terms of human prospects, bleak, it's all the more important to call upon the Holy Spirit to move hearts.
Sure.
You know, like you said, he doesn't wait for us to open the door. In fact, as you would be able to articulate better than I, Father Peter, we know that to even be able to open the door, we need the Lord's activity and grace and mercy. Father Stephen, do you have any maybe anecdotes or, well, first of all, anything you want to add, but maybe to ask both of you, either of you, any anecdotes about the Holy Spirit acting in a situation in ministry or in your own lives?
I've certainly experienced the Holy Spirit in prayer meetings that I've been to. Yep. People that have sometimes prayed for healing and have been healed. People that have prayed for peace and have found peace. But it is so often just it comes from that asking. I mean, we can ask, like the sequence has such beautiful poetic language. You know, just the first part of it is, "Come, Holy Spirit, come, and from your celestial home shed a ray of light divine. Come, Father of the poor, come, source of all our store, come within our bosoms shine." It's that beautiful calling, you know, which can even be sung or chanted.
Yeah.
But we can put it into our own words too. You know, we could say, "Holy Spirit, help me know the right thing to say to console my friend.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, touch my child's heart so that she will know how much she is loved by God.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, shed some light on this difficult decision I need to make. You know, Holy Spirit, help me find some time to pray today. Holy Spirit, help me confess my sins so that I can be forgiven and set free." Just little prayers you can say, calling in the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, and to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so often, you know, the Holy Spirit does help us, but sometimes we don't always recognize it. But it's good to ask, and then when we do receive the Holy Spirit, to thank the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and to give thanks, and giving thanks in spirit and truth is a part of Christian life, of course. Other thoughts for us on the Holy Spirit? I think, of course, we can also pray that "Come, Holy Spirit" prayer. It's, you know, worth having as one of those basic Catholic prayers to have memorized. That way, you know, you have at least at the drop of the hat a set prayer that you could pray together as a group for the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Spirit for his gifts. You know, people often talk about being inspired by the Holy Spirit to know something or to act in a certain way, sure, in a certain situation. And that is the Holy Spirit's gift of counsel, essentially, that they're talking about. And that's often, I think, people's avenue towards talking about the Holy Spirit. Sure. But we don't want to limit, of course, his activity to just being, you know, the one who sort of gives us the right answer when we're on the spot.
Yeah.
His activity, like Father Peter began with, is pervasive, or as Father Stephen's image from the Gospels, it's diffusive. You know, it's like that fragrant odor filling the entire room. It's like, in the words of the Exultet, a fire into many flames divided, yet never dimmed through its being shared, through the sharing of its light. So it's important, again, for us to be renewed in our devotion to the Holy Spirit, to hold fast, of course, to our faith and belief in the Holy Spirit, but to call out in our need and in our desire to grow in our faith. And it's, of course, easiest and maybe simplest just to say simply, "Come, Holy Spirit." Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Raymond Snyder, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Stephen Alcott and by Father Peter Tottleben. And we now end in a prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth,
rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.